Today's episode of Over Ass, we had the brand director of Sirhan, Mr. Jason Puma, was on the show, a.k.a. Puma. He goes over what Sirhan does to create content, what they're focusing on in the future, and what you can do to bring your business to the next level today.
The Broke Agent presents Over Ask Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Over Ask. Eric, we have a special guest today. I haven't said very special guest. Yeah, I haven't said very special guest in a while, and we got a very special guest today. Okay, we got Jason Puma. Have you seen Hannah Montana?
Yes.
Every time I say Roxy like a puma.
You're not the first person to tell me that. Yeah, Roxy like a puma.
Okay, sick.
A lot of people tell me that.
I like that. Jason, so you are the brand director for Sirhan.
Yes. Yep.
Yes,
brand director.
That's a pretty big title.
I'm actually very excited. It's a recent transition. I was before that senior brand manager, but I think within the past 30, if not 60 days, they gave me the brand director title, which I have been working towards.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I mean, it's perfect timing for this podcast now. So
yeah,
Jason, Sirhan, Ryan. Arguably one of the biggest brands in real estate. So what's your day to day? What kind of responsibilities come with being a brand director at this point?
Being at Sirhan, especially like being part of like the first founding team, I guess, you kind of like, you know, wore a lot of hats. So for the most part, it was a lot of, my department being studios, you know, helping structure that and found it from what it was just me and Adrian in the back of the mailroom editing Ryan's vlogs into now hiring a team of 20 people to help produce property tour videos, the listed network, all of Ryan's social media platforms, and creating agent content on top of that. There's a lot more that we do, but those are like the day-to-day sort of stuff that we do. My day particularly, I've transitioned a little bit outside of just helping operate and manage the studios team and all the content that goes out. So having an eye on all social posts or all messaging, content production and all that stuff, kind of transitioning out more towards the Sirhan voice in general. So whatever content pieces that on a higher level we're putting together, like a campaign, any partners that we're trying to reach or work with, I used to do a lot more, but I have a lot more time now to focus on, you know, working with other partners and trying to put the Sirhan name out there more than outside of just the regular day-to-day content that we already put out, you know.
When you say voice of Sirhan, are you the one that's actually publishing the content? Like if Ryan posts a reel or picture to Instagram, is that him physically doing it or is that one of you?
It varies back and forth. I used to, not anymore. One of his vloggers or our social team, helps keep on that day to day. You know, Ryan's very busy. But then, you know, Ryan will take a lot of things on his own and say like, you know, I'll post this one, or like I have a specific message, and like he'll do it himself, but we work with it's consistent day-to-day text group chat, like hour by hour, trying to figure out what he wants to say and if the content piece looks exactly to what he wants it to be. It's day-to-day and constant communication between the social team, Ryan's social team, and Ryan himself.
Matt, we got to get to the level where we have someone for us.
How did you meet? I know. Well, Tom Ferry, we had Courtney on. Tom Ferry, similar. It seems like a similar kind of role that Courtney plays for Tom, because that was a similar answer that she gave. Now, Jason, how did you meet Ryan, and how did this all come to?
I'll tell you guys something that I haven't actually told anyone. But when I first met Ryan, I was actually working at another real estate broker up in Jersey. Rob Dekansky, I don't know if you guys know him, I was working with him, and then through word of mouth, through another creative, like a photographer, videographer that they had been working with on a freelance basis, found out that they were hiring, looking for like a social guy, vlogger, you know, content person. At the time, that's what I was doing, so got connected, and I actually, Joe Laresca, I'm sure you guys are familiar with him, who helped, like, you know, found the whole media arm. he reached out to me and he was trying to get me to go over. I went in for an interview, and I actually said no, like three times. And so it was because I had like a thing going on in my and you know life moment. My house had actually caught on fire at the time, and so there was a lot of things going on, and like you know, a lot of things going on. So it's hard for me to like transition from like one job where I had like a little more control on like where I can go home and like take care of stuff, as opposed to joining this, which I knew what it was and I knew the potential I had, and I was like, I don't know if I can afford that amount to like invest the amount that amount of time. But after the third no, I think Joe convinced me, you know, I would miss out on a big opportunity here, and I think I just take the leap and just go for it. And 100% do not regret that.
Having that response,
they came back three times.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes.
Having that responsibility has got to be a lot, because obviously it's the biggest brand in real estate right now. Do you have any days off, like Saturday, Sunday, where there's no content that you have to overlook and see? Because running Broke Agent Media for us, it's a 24/7, 365 thing. There's no days off. Like if something doesn't go up on our Instagram, then we're failing that day. Is it similar with that, where you have to constantly be on, you can't unplug for a few hours?
I think it's transitioned a lot from what it was from like the first startup months, or at least like within development mode of you know, trying to launch and create the company. That back then, 100%, it was, and we're actually about to hit 2 years on September 15th, the anniversary. So like this time 2 years ago, it was when like constant, every single hour, 7 days a week, constantly on, working 12, 13 hours a day, and then all the way leading up to launch, even after, like, you know, for months, we were just always constantly on. Now it's, we have the ability, it's because, you know, we've grown a lot as a company, and helped, you know, the structure has been built out a lot more, where we have a lot of, enough hands to kind of, like, help delegate a lot of things, and, you know, some people, are like, in terms of posting, we have people in charge of it that can take care of it with no stress, and take care of it on the weekends. Whereas, like, you know, we don't really have to think about it. We just know what's going to be happening, and it's already expected and kind of drafted in a way, just ready to hit publish. But on my end, you know, now just my main like day-to-day kind of works with less communications through email or just following up with a bunch of different projects and keeping things moving, projects moving. So for the most part, for me, it's just like maintaining project, like, updating project management, keeping constant communication with all of our partners, and I mean, those are like always like can be moving. It's always on someone's court. You know, ball's always on someone's court. Either I'm waiting for a response or they're waiting on me to give them a response, and I'd much rather have as many balls out on their courts as possible than people waiting on me. That's, to me, that's a failure if people are waiting on me, or if I get a second follow-up on something, that's always like the biggest sense of urgency to get something done, because to me personally, just I hate when people are waiting on me for stuff, or when they have to follow up on me, especially twice. That's just not good on my book.
Yeah. Are you meeting with any of the agents there, like to kind of tailor their brand to them? Are you having like one-on-ones with these agents at Surant, or how does that kind of work?
So we do offer that as like a product or service. You know, that's kind of like what it's built on, you know, Surant. So outside of like the media component, it's the brand, you know, investing and helping these agents identify their brands or doubling down on their brands. We do help them create contents, but from a higher level, I do meet with them along with a few other members of my team to help kind of identify what their brand voice is, what they should be posting about, what a social strategy looks like, content pieces, content ideas, and buckets, and you know, we have adopted like Ryan's method and strategy, and you know, we're kind of like, this is what we do for Ryan, this works for Ryan, you kind of see it every single day, this is exactly what you should be doing, and we kind of help them out as much as we can, because you know, as we scale, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of agents more, we can only help so much, but we do meet with them to like give them some sort of like brand audit to help them find that identity and find that social cadence, to like, you know, build their brands as much as we can.
What is Ryan's strategy right now? Where are you guys focusing the most like content on? Is it LinkedIn? Is it Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the above? Do you have any you know, holes in your content strategy where you're like, hey, we need to really pick up on this platform?
So for the most part right now, you know, we have Instagram down to like a, you know, that we have in with no stress. Like, we know exactly what to do. That's his own running cycle. Like, we know we have a whole person dedicated to that, the YouTube channel as well. We actually just split the YouTube channels. Yeah, long time coming. We've been going back and forth on what to do there exactly. You know, getting that channel from, I think it's 1.2 or 1.3 right now, and creating a whole different channel was a big step. But I think it was in the right direction, because we were seeing that we weren't seeing the same numbers that we were seeing back then. Granted, the market now is like a lot more saturated with property tours and, you know, CEOs and CEO mindset and thought leadership. So we kind of like had to make this switch where we would split the channels, and it's been working.
So what was the channel? Because, oh, sorry. What was the channel split? It was more Sirhant, and then so you're focusing one on property tours, right, with Ryan, and then more Sirhant is kind of more motivational.
Yeah. So we only, before we had just the Ryan Sirhant channel, you know, that was it. But we posted everything on that. That was, you know, ultra luxury tours. But it was also the vlog of like a day in the life of a CEO or Ryan Sirhant in general. Or there's also thought pieces and, you know, speaking panels and, you know, just thought leadership pieces. So those are like three different things. But it's so like their channels now are so niche where it felt so, our audience didn't know what they were going to get every single week. Even though we were posting weekly, it was a matter of like, all right, is it a property tour this week, or is it like a thought leadership, you know, piece? And our audience was kind of split in that way, where we didn't have an audience that was solely focused on one piece of content, and the numbers clearly reflected that. So finally made a decision to split that up into one where it's just Ryan Sirhant right now is now just strictly property tours and like ultra luxury. And then the more Ryan Sirhant channel is focused on thought leadership, building the business, the entrepreneur mindset content that does well and Ryan does have experience in and has a lot of value to share. So we had to just completely dedicate a whole different channel to that. It was the right move, and we're only going to, like, you know, grow it from here. But YouTube is like a big thing that Ryan's very adamant about. It's the first platform that really took off for him.
Yeah, I've noticed that with a lot of the million-dollar listing guys, and I've said this from the start, there's been a lot of million-dollar listing guys, but no one, I think, has leveraged the show as well as Ryan and all of you, and that's pretty clear at this point. And the fact that he's kind of pivoting into these, like, he's not just an agent anymore, like, he's pivoting into this kind of Gary Vee territory, Grant Cardone, dare I say, I won't even say the guy.
No, you gotta say it.
Andrew Tate.
Very similar content. Property, yeah, property tours. Can we get a statement from you,
I know,
Jason, about that specifically?
But he no comment. But it's crazy to see that he's completely like someone who has no interest in real estate can still be a fan of Ryan at this point.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to see what you guys have done there.
We always try to, like, you know, grow our audience outside of just the we try to reach as many people as possible always, you know, there's, because outside of just growing the audience, we're also trying to grow the business, the firm in general, and, you know, trying to reach new agents and stuff like that. So it's recruitment is a big part of it. It's a part of building the firm, and also Brian's brand is as best as we can solidify it to, you know, whatever the next 5 years looks like for him, 10 years looks like.
Yeah,
we're trying to.
We're
trying to grow our YouTube channel right now. That's one of the main goals at BAM, Broke Agent Media. And we have so many different shows and podcasts. And I've always kind of batted the idea around, like, are we confusing the algorithm? Are we confusing people that are subscribers of us with so much different content? And it sounds like you guys made the adjustment because you were confusing people where they didn't know what they were going to get. So do you recommend, when you have different podcasts and shows or different styles of videos, to just separate channels?
Yeah, it's we've gone back and forth, and that's the main reason why we didn't want to do to split the channel, was because, you know, it's the same personality, it's the same like relative content, but it's not the exact same thing. I think right now we're you know, we have a lot of, you know, friends in the space as well who we see that have adopted the same model, and it just makes the most sense where our audience just, if they're subscribed to a channel, it's because they want to keep watching that same piece of content. And if you're confusing them and throwing other types of content on them, the algorithm is just going to go against you and not show them more of that content. Because let's say you saw one property tour and you really liked it and you subscribed and you want to see more property tours, but then for the next 3 weeks or your next three engagements with that channel, it's speaking panels, education, or thought leadership. They don't engage, then the algorithm will just gonna, you know, the algorithm just gonna tell you like, oh, you're not interested in this channel, so I'm just gonna stop showing you that stuff. And then the next one is property tours. Over time, you just see this decline in views, engagement, and reach, and it just not, it doesn't work out because the audience just wants to. They if they're gonna subscribe to one thing that they and they would if they're subscribing to one thing, they wanna just have that one thing come to them, to their feed. Especially like right now, because it's so much, like there's so much content out there that's just trying to grab your attention. It's, you gotta compete with that, you know?
Yeah. That might be the move, Eric. That might be our next move.
I know, yeah.
We're just gonna, you're just gonna notice, Jason, like 2-3 weeks channels after everything you guys start doing, Broke Agent Media is just going to slowly start doing the same thing.
I'm sure they see that all the time with their content. I bet there's so many agents and other million-dollar listing people, too, that are kind of copying exactly what you guys are doing. Like Matt said at the beginning of this podcast, you were kind of the revolutionaries, or not, you were the innovators from the million-dollar listing space on YouTube and all these platforms, like the first movers, and then you kind of saw the Altmans come into the vlog series and the other creators as well. So I'm sure you see a lot of people emulating your content.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ryan was one of the first. That was even before I joined. Definitely was one of the first people to take on property tours like on YouTube or just like showing ultra luxury stuff on that platform. But, like, you know, it was inevitable where, like, you know, people would pick it up and, you know, everyone's going to pick up and kind of gravitate towards specific personalities. So if it's not Ryan, it's someone else, like the Allman Brothers or anyone else that's even like on TikTok. That's a whole different other platform. That's such a lower effort to kind of, not that it's no effort, but it's compared to YouTube, it's a lower effort into creating and producing content there that it kind of even opens up that to an entire different creator economy where there's a lower barrier of entry to actually produce stuff on that platform. So, you know, it's only going to get worse, you know? So it's like, how do you differentiate yourself?
So what does it look like for Ryan when he's creating content? Cause I'm assuming, I mean, I guess he does have his own ideas as well, but I'm assuming he's not just sitting there for 2 hours thinking of his ideas. So are you guys literally, you know, going up, do you have content days? We'll go up to him and be like, listen, I think you should do this, jump on this trend, try this. And you just like, just bang out a bunch of stuff in a day? Or how does that work?
Our team, we have the Ryan Serhant social team. They're dedicated and they're so focused on creating these ideas and helping, you know, just create the contents. We have with Ryan, and his assistant helps us schedule this, content sessions like every spread throughout the week. Whether it's 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes here and there, every minute really counts for us because Ryan is very busy. And so, you know, we know to be efficient with his time. So we always come prepared with ideas, whether it's a trend or a content piece or just like kind of taking, recycling content that we've already had. Like if it's a property tour that's going up that week, easily a couple of reels from that can go up. If it's a conversation piece that we filmed him with another agent or a staff or, you know, a podcast, that's a bunch of pieces, thought leadership pieces that we can get right there. And then the trends is usually when we try to hit within those small content sessions that, you know, we can't really sit down and set up a whole conversation for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Those are like quick trend pieces that we can hit. But also on the weekend, he will like see something he likes and be like, I can do this. And he goes and does it himself. And then I just see it. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it's funny.
I was going to ask if there are two questions. Okay. So A, is there any time that like just out of the blue, you'll see something he posted, be like, what the hell is going on here? Like, we did not give the green light to that.
On the weekdays, I'd say, you know, we're intact. Like it's always a conversation. Like the group chat is engaged, and we know exactly what's going to go up every single day. But then on weekends, it's kind of like, Ryan, whatever you want to do, go for it. That's if rough. If nothing's already scheduled.
Right. And then yeah. I had a second kind of follow-up to that, because it seems like, outside looking in, that kind of everything Ryan does, dare I say, everything he touches turns to sold or turns to gold. You know what I mean? Is there any things that don't hit? Like, it just seems like all the content just hits all the time. Is there ever stuff that, like, just doesn't hit at all, and you're like, fuck, what happened there? And you have to go back to the drawing board?
I mean, nice dog in the back. we have a few things that just don't go through or don't resonate well with the audiences. We're not like every single piece as flattered as I'd take it for the team. Not everything, you know, he touches is gold. It's some content pieces just don't really hit or don't really resonate. Some pick up out of nowhere, and it's like, okay, and we sometimes don't even know why. It's sometimes just the algorithm is in our favor, or it was a good day on social. But most times, if we see a consistent decrease or non-impactful numbers, then, you know, we probably just pull that one stream of content that we've been trying to double down on. And, you know, we're constantly have our eyes on these platforms to know which ones are working, which ones have not. Thought leadership pieces, conversational pieces, where Ryan's kind of like sharing value, almost always hits. Like, those are super, super, those do super well for us. Because I think a lot of people want to like learn or understand Ryan's mind and how he operates. And to have like a direct stream into that is, I think, is super valuable.
What about the one he just posted where he's having a conversation with himself? And it's him versus his dad, and his dad's reminding him of all these injuries. To me, that was the one piece I've seen from him that, like, was completely out of the box, was not real estate related, not motivational related, but was still, you know, it was comedic, and Ryan does have a comedic side. So was that one that you guys constructed, or was that one he just went rogue and filmed?
We helped them film that one. But to your point, like, that's one where we like we'll test content and see how our audience reacts to it, and see, you know, if this is something that people want to see more of from Ryan, then let's keep it going a little bit and see how we can, you know, keep it going. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't work, and we're like, okay, well, we tested it. We've tried to do a few different variations of it, whether it's A/B testing or anything else like that. We go a lot into the data, and, you know, It all depends on what resonates with the audience. Yeah. That one, I don't know why he wanted to do like a, I want to have a conversation with my dad.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's me.
I mean, but that's cool to hear, because we talk about that all the time on the show. It is a lot of trial and error. And I think for our audience to hear that, even someone at Ryan's level is still going through that. Like, just because he's Ryan Serhant doesn't mean everything's going to hit all the time.
No, exactly. I think it'd be a fail in a way to just continue the same exact same of concept forever and out. Like, that's not it. Like, the social platforms are going to change. The environment and the economy is going to change within the social platforms. And TikTok, you know, came in and completely changed everything that we used to do. We were not focused on reels. We were not that focused on micro 30 seconds vertical content. Now, like, that's almost strictly what we do. If we post a photo, it's like, if a photo's in the queue, we're like, why are we posting a photo on Instagram? Like, that's crazy. Don't do that. So it's ever changing, you know, always.
Yeah, that ability to evolve is really important, and that's what we're trying to do too. Is, I mean, Matt was doing kind of more long form horizontal video scripts and you know, music videos and stuff like that. Now he's doing these more short form 10-second hitters, rants in his car, stuff like that. So that ability to adapt is extremely important.
I used to love your videos, Matt. Not used to. I still love your videos. I remember when we were first starting the program, the Sell Like Serhant program. I caught your account, and I was like, whoa, who is this guy and what is he putting out? I was like, this guy's one of our competitors. Like, he, the way he actually like showcases property is such a creative way, and it's completely out of pocket approach, where, like, you know, this is the kitchen and this is the living. Like, no, like, you, that, yeah. I never heard you say that. But I completely understood, like, the layout and like what the property had to like show. I absolutely love your skits. I think it's such a creative way to like market your properties.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Bobby, let's clip that. Let's make that the clip of the episode. That's kind of what got me to do everything I'm doing now. And it was just kind of taking a risk because no one had been doing that when I started doing it. I've said this before, like when I started thinking about this comedic stuff, I could not for the life of me. I was searching for comedic real estate videos. And there was a couple, like I came across some of Eric's really old ones that he had done through Broke Agent, but there was really nothing. And now, like you were saying, Jason, it's completely oversaturated with everything, whether it's comedic or motivational or property tours. So you still have to find a way. It's even more big to just be, you know, stick out now and stand out now because everyone's doing everything. So you just have to kind of be the best at what you're doing.
You almost have to not be funny at this point to be different. You almost have to like be doing traditional marketing. Like I feel like the pendulum has swung so far in this direction that everyone's trying to copy each other and hop on trends and be hilarious. When you said that you kind of saw Matt potentially as like a competition or inspiration, like what this guy's doing to show property tours, this is incredible. Is there any media company or agent or brokerage or course or something that you look at and say, this is kind of our direct competition right now? We either want to emulate what they're doing or beat them to death.
I don't think we ever try to, and what I mean by competition is like inspiration. It's never like, I don't think we're in a way to like, where we're trying to keep ahead of our competitors. Honestly, we just keep, we honestly keep our focus on just what's next, what can we do? It's holding ourselves to a standard and not being okay with just being comfortable. Like once we've figured out like a content piece that works and we've like, you know, gone back and forth and kept going with it, like, okay, it's worked. Now what? Like the social sphere has changed in the past 60, 90 days. What's next? What else can we do? So it's ever going. In terms of competition, you know, that correlates sort of like the way we see competitors, if you want to call it that. It's just getting ahead of everything because we, from the start, you know, we kind of were the pioneers in a way. And now as we saw people starting to get onto the trends and like get onto the platforms in this specific industry, it's like, okay, wait, like this is happening. We need to like somehow stay ahead. So it's, I guess in a way we're the competition or like, you know, it'd be bad to kind of stay the same or follow the same exact strategy every single time. It's always trying to innovate and compete against ourselves in a way.
You never see like Josh Flagg post something or James and David or someone, you look at it and you're like, damn it. Like they're doing exactly what we're doing or they're doing something better or something like that. Like, I feel like I'm always looking at that type of thing. Matt's looking at that type of thing. Like that helps drive our content too, is, you know, it kind of fuels us.
Yeah. No, if it's fuel, 100%. I'm always like, oh, wow, that's amazing. These guys are crushing it. Like, I would love to. We got to keep this going. We use it as inspiration, though. Like, we just want to be, it helps push everything forward. We're like, okay, we really need to figure out a new content strategy. Or if it's, if we find something that another, like, I guess a competitor or like someone that we like, that we follow does, we're like, damn. They like finesse that, like that's awesome, good for them. But also like, damn, we didn't get it.
Right.
But you know, like we within the community, we're like all, we're close with like a lot of people in the community, so it's never competitive. It's more so like, just we're happy for them, but also like, damn, I wish we had gotten that.
I get that because whenever someone hits like a video, because like I said, when I started doing this, not that I was like at all a pioneer of video comedy or anything, but
I'd
like
say so.
There was just a lot more to do and you wouldn't have to worry. Like there's honestly sometimes, well, I'll have an idea and then the next day I'll see someone else do it and it's just like, you know, it's like shit. And then when someone's video really hits, then it like, it gives me that drive, like, okay, hold on, just watch this because next week you're in for a treat.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just, yeah, there's that healthy competition. I think I think you need that. I think if you don't have that drive, then you might be in the wrong industry. You need that a little bit.
Yeah. For real estate agents, it's the perfect industry for that because you're competing with 100 plus agents in your specific farm. So in terms of
exactly.
needing fuel or something like that, look at the 10 agents in your office that are doing something similar to you and use that as like, I want to be better than them on social. I want more followers. I want to get more engagement. I'm going to get more views, that type of thing. I think having that competitive drive really, really helps.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the real estate industry is very competitive, especially, you know, to your point, even within the firm. I will say, though, it's kind of incredible to see the difference between most firms. And, you know, we have our floor dedicated to our agents. We're so content and social and brand focused that and we promote that so much that even our agents, you know, the ones that like who really are adamant about like, you know, posting, creating content, they will do it, but they also like help promote each other and help inspire and push each other to like create more content. So it's like if someone sees one of the people next to them kind of like posting content, they're like, shit, I need to like go out and create more content. So it's like a healthy competition. And it's everyone's kind of like working towards the same goal. It's never a tank of sharks.
Yeah.
Here. It's very amicable, which I'm very happy to have.
Yeah, you definitely need that, especially within a brokerage or something. You want to surround yourself with people who are honestly doing either better things or what you want to do, what you want to be. You want to surround yourself with that. Now, Jason, in my mind and in Eric's mind, Sirhan, about once a week you guys meet up, you put the broke agent and Matt Leonetti on a screen and you just kind of talk about it. Is that true? Is there
that's
truth
exactly
to that statement?
That's exactly what we do.
Okay.
Whiteboard.
I will confirm that's exactly what we do.
Okay, perfect.
Does he ever,
we just wanted to make sure.
We asked Niall, I think, this. Does he ever mention us? Does he ever say like, oh, you see that post? See what they're doing over there?
Oh,
Dan,
yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
Pretty
like, oh, like
Matt's getting pretty buff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have a call. Hold on.
Right, of course. All right, looks like we are he who must not be named.
Top secret.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe, who knows, maybe he has a dartboard with our faces
exactly.
on it in his office. Actually, Jason, I missed you when I was in New York.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes. Beautiful office. Fantastic. Yeah, it's great. I
very
did,
fortunate.
Yeah, I did a podcast with Sean. And it was good.
Super fortunate to have the space.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now let's do some fun questions, Eric, to wrap this up. We haven't done a little fun lightning round, Jason.
All right.
Okay. So these are hard hitting questions. Are you ready for this?
By the way, I didn't correct you in the beginning. Everyone calls me Puma, and no one really calls me Jason.
So we should call you Puma.
That's okay. Okay, so when I was in Boston, I spoke with Ryan and Talia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, like I've been following Jason. He's a nice guy. And Talia's like, who's Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's like, it's Puma. I was like, oh, well, I don't know. Now I'll call you Puma. I don't want to be that asshole who.
No, you're fine. I really don't. You know? I really don't mind. It's just naturally people just kind of go towards that. But like in these situations, a lot of like first time interactions, it's like, oh, Jason, I'm like, oh, it's Puma. Like, people just call me Puma. It's easier. Yeah.
Well, thanks for waiting the entire episode.
I wanted to wait
very
until
respectful.
The 40-minute mark.
Much appreciated.
Okay. All right. Well, Puma, I feel actually honored that I can now call you Puma. I'm going to DM you now.
We've
like,
established
what's up,
that,
Puma?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've established a good relationship. Puma, these are hard-hitting questions, all right?
Let's do it.
Okay. Who would win in a fight?
God.
Ryan.
Oh, no.
Ryan or Lundgren? Sirhan versus Lundgren. That's a little office
Niall,
fighting.
All right.
If you don't know Niall Lundgren, we've had him on the show, front of the show. You go check him out. He's pretty big as well.
He's the guy that
he's
screamed.
Big dude. He's very fit.
He's the guy that screamed more fucking content.
Fucking
in that
content.
Viral clip.
Yeah,
I
that was great.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I think Niall will come off strong. I think Ryan might. I can't say Ryan's much of a fighter, as big as he looks. I gotta go with Niall on this one. He looks like he knows jujitsu. I don't know if he does, but he just comes across like
Niall Lundgren is a fighter's name for sure.
That is a fighter's name.
Yeah.
I mean, it's he's related to Dolph, he said. Eric, what do you got?
If you had to change the Sirhan name to something else as a brokerage, what would you change it to?
Wow.
As the brand director here. So one word, two words, whatever you want.
Oh, wow. You know, I would change it to something that has to – that emulates more so on the entrepreneurial side, like just overall. So it's not even like just focusing on the real estate side. Like I wouldn't say like we sell or anything like that or anything on the selling, anything that touches the point on selling. It's more so I would change something that – change it towards something that emulates more towards entrepreneurship. So you know, I have a whole design team focused on branding, but I more so focus on strategy.
Okay.
So I would leave it to the experts, but I would 100% go with something more towards like entrepreneurial, all-encompassing entrepreneurial, a house of entrepreneurs or something.
What about just Ryan?
I was going
to... You know, we have thought about that.
Yeah, that's good.
I was going to say Puma's taken.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to get that account. They won't hand it over.
I know. What the hell? Okay. Now... next to acting, okay, because we know Ryan started as an actor. If he was not a real estate agent, where do you think he would succeed? Which career or industry would he succeed most in?
I'd say modeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Modeling for sure.
Yeah. Is Ryan an athlete?
What about me? You think modeling as well?
Stand-up comedy, 100%.
Okay, sick. I'll take it.
Puma, is Ryan an athlete? Can he throw a football with a spiral? Can he catch a baseball or shoot a basketball? I've never seen him do anything. I mean, he works out like a fiend, obviously, but I'm just trying to gauge him. Like, is he a guy's guy? Can he hit a golf ball? What's he doing sports wise?
I've actually never seen him hit a golf ball. Yeah. Ryan loves watching sports. You know, he works out like a monster, but. We don't showcase him playing sports for a reason.
Got it. Understood.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So here's one. And this might be the last one. I'm not sure yet. This is a serious one. If Ryan had to take, or if Sirhant had to bring the team down to Ryan, because that's obviously what everything is kind of based on, and two people for content. Who would he be bringing with? What are the two people for content that he needs to do everything he's doing? Absolutely needs.
To operate? Just like keep,
yes, the, to,
keep
just social to keep moving. It going.
And bring us on, Matt,
moving.
Like two names. I thought that's what you were angling towards.
No, I wasn't angling that. This is for other agents maybe who are thinking about expanding or, you know, doing their first couple hires. If he had to bring it back down to bare bones, what would he, I guess, be his two first hires to do what he's doing now?
Oof. I think the most important roles that you kind of need there, and I still hold it true to one of his first hires was, I guess, like an operations person or operations/assistant to help him scale the business so he can focus on the sales side of things, because you know that's what he should be focusing on, not ops and you know all that. And then I do think a content person would be needed outside of, you know, agents to actually, you know, grow and build. Yeah.
Okay. I got one more, Matt.
Interesting you did not say videographer.
A content person, you know.
But I will, videographers, I mean, Adrian's amazing. Is that what he goes by, or does he go by something else too? You guys all have nicknames, or what's going on here?
No.
Okay. Because I mean, he is fantastic. One of the best I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But for agents who, that's not needed, you could do something with your phone and still have very good content.
No, I think now especially the iPhone is a lot more powerful than it was before. Yeah. And it's literally in everyone's hand, so it's almost at this point, it's like, there's no excuses, but like, I don't want to say that, but also, I do want to say that.
That's the name of the brokerage. You would name the brokerage No Excuses.
No Excuses.
Yeah.
There you go.
Eric, you said you had one more?
If Sirhant had to keep one platform, one social media platform, and you had to get rid of all the others, what would you keep for the future?
Oof.
Are you saying for Ryan himself or for the brand in general?
Probably for Ryan himself. So between YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram.
I would say...
email, possibly.
Yeah, he'd love that. I want to say Snapchat. I'm kidding. I'd say Instagram. It's the most established. It's almost like your business card. Like if you don't have an Instagram profile or some sort of presence there, it's kind of like a red flag almost. YouTube is such a monster to dominate, and you need a team for that. Whereas Instagram, you can be successful with like a couple people behind it. If you were to scale it down completely, I think it'd be Instagram, just because it's all encompassing for all of his audiences. You know.
Yeah.
It's so confusing because so many people say different things. Like you got Sirhan, brand director at Sirhan. Like we said at the beginning, this is pretty much the biggest brand you could be directing in real estate. And you're saying like Instagram. I know Gary V is like not even really thinking about Instagram.
It's fifth now on his
list. It's just like
an
afterthought.
Yeah,
no, 100%. It's interesting to see, like, because there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can say TikTok, and obviously, like, TikTok is a big competitor right now, and that's, you're not even paying to play there yet. It's all organic. And we've seen so much growth in the past few months just by doubling down on content there. But, like, if we're trying to, like, scale the business and really grow it out, like, in real, you know, developer conversations or sellers, they're mostly going towards like Instagram. It's still a heavy player within the business world, you know, as opposed to like, yeah, if you want to grow a brand and like, you know, just go viral, you're probably going to be successful on TikTok. But right now for the business, what we need is Instagram is still such a heavy platform and it's super important.
Especially with doing ads to the sell it like Sirhan courses and links to your listings and everything like that. I feel like that strategy is so much more seamless than TikTok, like TikTok plugging links.
Yeah.
Way different than Instagram, so that makes sense. One more question
TikTok
about
TikTok courses, just like a tool.
Yeah, one more question about YouTube Shorts. I've seen. I went to the Sirhan YouTube channel, Ryan's YouTube channel, and it's nonstop Shorts right now. Are you uploading anything and everything from Reels and from TikTok, or what's the strategy with that?
Right now, it's and to you know TikTok's credit, the monster that it is, it's completely changed the landscape of content, where you know even Instagram almost tried to change into the same platform or same
vertical
landscape, I guess.
Yeah, algorithm vertical, feed vertical. Feed basically. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And there was a petition and it obviously didn't go through, but it's like everyone's trying to adjust to it, where like even YouTube and like Google has added this YouTube Shorts, and it's like, all right, well, now every platform is focusing on vertical, micro, short video content. And it's like, we are kind of publishing everywhere there, because as we continue to feed into each platform, because we have so many platforms that we need to, like, you know, distribute content into them, we can't just create one piece of content for one vertical or one platform and then do that seven more times for all of our other platforms. It has to be, like, kind of all spread across all our platforms. Also because within each one of those platforms, we don't have the same exact audiences. You know, some people don't actually have TikTok. You know, some of the older millennials who refuse to download TikTok, they're always talking about like Reels, like, oh, I saw this on Reels, and I'm like, Reels? I saw it on TikTok like last week, but they refuse to download TikTok. And so the cross-pollination between audiences is so minimal, where you actually do hit new audiences, and some content pieces might be repeated for like very, very little people that actually follow Ryan across multiple platforms. But for the most part, a majority of those, that audience that we do distribute content to, it's their first time seeing on those unique platforms, whether it's Shorts, TikTok, or Instagram Reels, or even LinkedIn, you know?
Yeah, I've never got annoyed seeing the same piece of content on multiple platforms. So people that are hesitant to do that should figure that out and realize that. Like, if I see the same piece of content, 100%. I'm not like, what the hell are they doing? I'm like, this is smart strategy. Obviously, it's working on one place. And half the time, I don't see it on all these platforms.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not scrolling through Facebook Reels. I'm not scrolling through TikTok all day. I'm scrolling through Instagram Reels, and then occasionally I'll hop on TikTok and sometimes see the same piece. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, and if it's not, swipe away and continue on with your day. But it won't hurt your brand.
Right.
You know? It's just putting out as much as you can.
Yep. And there we have it from the man himself, Mr. Puma. Let's sign a petition, folks. Let's get him this handle, this Instagram. This is ridiculous. What has Puma done lately? Am I right? We got the brand director at Sirhan waiting for his name. Okay, so let's figure that out for Puma. Puma, actually, Eric, this is your question to wrap up.
Okay, Puma, where can the people follow you? Thanks, Matt.
don't follow at Puma on Instagram.
At Puma, right. Yeah, 13 million followers on that. Follow
at Jason A. Puma. That's Jason where you can find me everywhere.
Everyone, sweet. Give this video a like if you enjoyed this. This was nonstop value. It was awesome to hear from Puma. And throw it a subscription. Subscribe to the channel if you're listening on YouTube, please. The Broke Agent presents Over Ask Podcast.